Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us greet each other in the name of Christ. Again, I'd like to welcome everybody to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. Just a few announcements today. First, want everyone to be aware that the memorial service for Joe Gallagly will be here in the sanctuary at 2 o'clock this afternoon. All of you who knew Joe and Mildred, we urge you to come and be in attendance. Circle meetings will be going on this week. If you're a member of the circle, please check your newsletter or bulletin for the times and locations for your circles. And next Sunday, it will be our administrative board meeting, the first one for 2011. The time has been changed to 4 p.m., so we will not conflict with the Super Bowl. All you men and some ladies will probably be very interested in that. It will be held in the Trinity classroom at 4 o'clock. And just to make you aware, the administrative board is made up of chairpersons of committees, coordinators of the different groups, and members at large. We urge everybody who is on the administrative board to be in attendance. This is going to be a very important meeting as the new discipleship program for stewardship will be introduced and explained. So this will be the introduction of the stewardship program for 2011. Urge your attendance at that. Being no further announcements, we want us to prepare our hearts for worship as the acolytes bring forth the light of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. Please rise for our call to worship. Come, all who are poor in spirit. Come, all who mourn. Come, all who are meek. Come, all who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come, all who would be merciful. Come, all who would be pure in heart. Come, all who would be peacemakers. Let us come together, the weak, the simple, the powerless, the foolish. Let us confess that the source of our life is Christ Jesus. Let us worship the God of every blessing.
Join with me in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. We have come before you, O God, like those who gathered around Jesus on a faraway hill long ago to find new meaning for our lives. We want our lives to sound in harmony with your song of love. We want to live with integrity and wisdom, with a spirit of truth. Do not disappoint us, God, but allow us to know your presence and hear your voice. Come among us, Holy God, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us join together in affirming our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the 6th chapter of Micah, verses 1 through 8. In this passage, God has a controversy with Israel, and the prophet describes the type of sacrifices that God expects. Listen for God's word to us. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God.
Please join in the reading of the Psalter. We will be using Psalm 15, found on the insert in your bulletin. We will begin with the sung response, which Joyce will now play. Heart on Zion's hill, your joyful songs now raise. In one accord lift up your voice, sing forth your songs of praise. Sing forth your songs of praise. O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Who does not slander with the tongue, and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up a reproach against a neighbor.
In his eyes the reproach is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord.
Who does not put out money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent.
The one who does these things shall never be moved.
You pure in heart on Zion sill, your joyful songs now raise. In one accord lift up your voice, sing forth your songs of praise. Sing forth your songs of praise.
The epistle reading for today is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Listen again for God's word to us. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Gentiles and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, but many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have heard these Beatitudes sung before us this day, as we hear and feel your word as it takes root within our hearts, we thank you for your blessings, for the response to us that happy are we when we are committed to the kingdom of God, when we are committed to a right way to respond to the circumstances of life, when what we anticipate is before us and not in front of us, that we act out in faith, believing that you who sees in secret rewards openly, that you know the widow's might, that you know the recesses of our heart, that you know, dear God, when within us what we really want to do is to please you. And sometimes we grow weak, and sometimes maybe weary, but we're thankful to you who strengthens and who encourages, you who loves us. Loves us more than we love ourselves, more than we love others. To you, dear God, we turn and pray for these within our church family and our friends who have needs, for those in the hospital, for those recuperating at home, for those who have been sick for so long. We pray, dear God, that you will touch them, that you will strengthen the caregivers, that you will encourage those who are grieving this day from loss. And we thank you again for our time of peace here, and pray for the places of the world that are in turmoil, even this very moment, when individuals in leadership are being attacked, and buildings being burned, and chaos reigns within the streets. We pray, dear God, that you will help those hurting people, and that they would know peace, that they would know the provisions that meets for the basic necessities of life. We pray for peacemakers in times like these, for those who stand in the gap and build up the hedge, repair the breach. We pray, dear God, for our troops, wherever they may be serving, that in the midst of all that they do, that they would be builders of peace, workers for justice, protecting those who cannot protect themselves. For ministers and missionaries, those who have left our very fold and are now in foreign lands, bless them. Give them a bountiful harvest for their labors. Help them to come home rejoicing, as the scripture says, and as the song says, and bring in their sheaves with them. Again, we pray for leaders within our church, our bishops, and within our nation, our congresspersons, for our president, We pray, dear God, as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Let us pray. Holy God, we humbly now receive these gifts from your faithful servants. We thank you, Almighty God, for their gifts. We pledge, dear God, among ourselves to be diligent in the distribution of these gifts for the furtherance of your kingdom. Bless these gifts. Bless those who have not, who chose not to give this day. Bless all of us together, dear God, as we faithfully respond to you, in whose name we give. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Oh, look at this great group of boys and girls. This morning, I am talking about a portion of the Bible in Matthew, chapter 5. And it's when this huge crowd was gathering in excitement of hearing what the Bible calls the Sermon on the Mount. And the crowd was gathering, and Jesus went up on the mountain. And before he talked to the people, he called his disciples together, and he said, "Yeah, I need to talk to you about something." He said, "You know, when you're a Christian, it comes with great responsibilities, but it also comes with great rewards." He said, I want to give you some guidelines." And so what he was going to talk about was he was going to give them what we call the Beatitudes. That's a real weird word, but it means blessings. He was going to give them blessings. And I liked my Bible when it said blessing in this doesn't just mean happiness. It means hope and joy no matter what you're experiencing, like the ultimate hope and joy. That means within your heart. So no matter what was going on, they could have this blessing. So I kind of, the Beatitudes, there's several of them, and I kind of simplified them to where I could understand them better, and hopefully you could too. Okay, and remember, blessed is hope and joy. Blessed are you who don't quite understand everything about God and the Bible, because no one's perfect, but that's who God wants. You're blessed. Blessed are you who are sad sometimes, because God will be with you and he'll give you hugs from heaven. He'll make you feel better inside. Blessed are you who don't brag, but do everything with God in your heart, because you'll be rewarded. Sometimes that's hard not to brag. Blessed are you who want to know more about God in the Bible, because God will show you ways to understand. And that means like coming to church and teachers to help you. Blessed are you who help others, because others and God will help you too. Blessed are you who do everything with God in your heart, because one day you'll be able to live with him in heaven. That's the ultimate. Blessed are you who try hard to keep peace around you and in the world, because that shows everybody that you're a child of God. Blessed are you who are brave enough to tell others you love God by your actions and your words, even when it's not easy. And it's not always going to be easy, but if you have God in your heart, you'll always have hope and joy in your heart, no matter what. So let's all pray that we can follow these Beatitudes that he gave the disciples. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for letting me be your child. Thank you for the blessings.
Thank you for the blessings.
And help us to live by them every day.
Help us to live by them every day.
We love you.
We love you.
Amen.
Morning has broken like the first morning.
Hear now the word of God as contained in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the first verse of the fifth chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. This is one of those passages of Scripture that just has so much in it. Someone has said this was the ordination service for the disciples. And I remember how moved I felt when I was privileged to be in Israel and we were in the area that was perceived to be where the Sermon on the Mount was presented, and how touched I was. And many times as I reflect on these passages and I think about the different ways that they touch us and give us guidance on how to live our lives. Story was told about a young minister who had moved into town, and the mortician gave him a call and said that there had been a death in the community and there was no family members left for this young man, and that really there was not going to be a funeral as such, and just wondered if the minister would come to the grave and say a few words as the body was being interred there in the gentle earth. The minister said he certainly would be glad to, and so being new in the community, he got a little disoriented when the is arriving to the cemetery, and he got a little lost. He was about 30 minutes late, and he pulled up to what he thought was the burial plot there, and there had a backhoe, and there were some guys sitting around, and they were eating a sandwich, and so he ran up to the what he perceived to be the gravesite, and he opened up his Bible, and he read some verses, and he had a prayer, and did a committal, and he shook hands with the guys that were sitting around what he perceived to be the grave, and as he was leaving, the two guys looked at each other and says, "I ain't never seen nothing done like that for a septic tank in my life." You know, sometimes in life we can have good intentions, but we might make some mistakes. One of the things that happens sometimes in the Scriptures is when they are being printed, that at the printer they make some mistakes. And somebody put in one of them one time that got out, said, "Blessed are the pacemakers." Another one said, "Thou shalt commit adultery." We realize that if these mistakes were to have gotten out into the populace, it might have changed the whole concept of what religion is all about, especially Christianity. And so as we read this passage of Scripture and these passages, and we hear them again as they speak to us, and as they call us to a standard of living, a way of responding to those circumstances and situations that face us almost daily. I remember I was sharing with the early at the Out Loud service this morning when I was with in the military. I had a friend of mine, and we had lunch one day, and he began to talk to me about colors. how to live your life in colors. It was a very interesting conversation, and so as I listened to him, he offered a class there in our military training, what was called TQM, Total Quality Maintenance Management, and so I took his course. He talked about the way that we respond to the issues of life. If you were green, you were envious, jealous, which is what we normally associate with green. Yellow, you know, non-committal, sort of away from the mainstream. Red, angry, out of control. Blue, passive, in control. And so I realized that blue was the way that you wanted to live. Red sometimes was the way that you, maybe me, acted sometime. I had some adolescents at the house at the time, and so during the week, I had a confrontation with some of my children, and the next time I went back to my friend, I said, "Well, Woody," I said, "I flew red the other day." And I was thinking that if you could be honest about how you responded, that that made it okay, that you knew where you were, whether you were being jealous or sort of cowardice in your response or red, that really, as long as you knew, you were all right. I mean, it was where you wanted to be, that you knew in blue, but if you weren't, it was okay. And I said, "Well, I flew red," and I said, "I thought I was justified," and I shared it with him, and I'll never forget when Woody looked at me and he said, "Terry, you should never be red. You should always be blue." Sort of took me back. I thought I was the chaplain. I thought I was the preacher. But all of a sudden, the words were coming back to me. And it touched me in a way that I never forgot, how I should be. As I read these passages of Scripture and I think about where they take us as an individual, blessed are the poor in spirit. There comes a time in our lives when we make that surrender to God. I was talking with someone this past week, and we were talking about conversion experiences, and I said to them, "I have had many conversion experiences. There have been many times in my life when, in the midst of my communications with God, I would say, 'Lord, if there's any doubt, if there's any question, I want you to know that I surrender to you. Lord, I trust in you and I believe in you and I give you my life. Lord, this is the way I want to live in.' And when I fail to respond as I should, as your child, I ask for your forgiveness and I embrace your love and ask for your strength, and I ask for your guidance." And even sometimes riding in an automobile and having those moments of communication with God, and I would say, "Lord, just so you know, I perceive myself to be your son." Poor in spirit. Realizing that we cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter what our family name is. It doesn't matter how long we've been a member of this church or whatever. There comes a time when we embrace that faith for ourselves. That's what we say at baptisms, when we baptize our children. At such time, he or she makes that commitment of faith for themselves. It's my faith. I embrace it. I acknowledge it. I want to see the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Think about those who are grieving. There are times as a minister and as parishioner when we are involved with family members, when we are involved with church members, when we are responsible to those, we know there's nothing that we can do humanly to comfort them. Sometimes we deal with the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it may be the loss of our health. It may be the realities of what life has dealt to us. Realize that for those who have their faith in God, there will come a time when those who mourn are going to be comforted. I can only speak from my own experiences. I remember when I was in Bible college and Professor Taylor, he said, live the Christian life, preach the results. And I remember when I received the call that my mom had had a heart attack. I was devastated. I was crying and sobbing so hard, I don't even remember who drove me to Columbia. Later on, my mother died. And I was dealing with that loss that we deal with when we lose a loved one. And I was riding up the interstate, and all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed with the reality in my spirit that my mother had entered the portals of glory, and my mourning was turned into joy, and I began to laugh and say, congratulations, wonderful mom, you've made it. Now your faith is no longer faith, it's reality. I can't say that you're going to have that same experience. But from my experience, in the midst of my mourning, it was turned to joy. God did it. Blessed are those who mourn. I remember talking with those of my church family that lived through the Great Depression. I would say to them, how did you do it? I remember talking with those who had been in the midst of battle. Those who had lost loved ones and friends. How did your faith sustain you in the midst of no money and little to no food? How did you endure? One event that I remember, and I don't think I've shared this with you, but one of my military parishioners was telling me about being in Germany, and he was down in a barn, and the shells were falling all around him, and he perceived that the artillery person that was shooting at him knew that they were in that barn, and they were trying to zero in. And he said one shell would fall short, one shell would fall to the right, one shell would fall to the left. He just knew that the next one was going to be right on him. I can hear his words as they rev through my mind now. And he says, boy, howdy, preacher.
Boy, howdy, I want you to know it works. I said, what works? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Preacher, I thought I was getting ready to cross right over, and I was as calm as I am right now. I can't tell you how these passages of Scripture are going to touch you. I can tell you what the Scriptures says. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Who are those in this world that you know that are peacemakers? We could really use peacemaker today. Our world needs a great big Nelson Mandela from somewhere. We need someone somewhere that can step up. Are you a peacemaker? Are you one of those that pushes for peace? For it says, they will be called children of God. Who are the peacemakers that we have known? I mentioned to you, my buddy, in closing, as he mentioned the colors. And I ask you today, what is your color? What is your response to the gospel? How do these passages of Scripture touch you? And where is it that we need an attitude change? I want to close with this prayer. It's printed by, it was given to me this morning by Mallory. As we pray today, you're invited to pray for those you know who are in special needs and need to be lifted up this morning. Hear now these prayers. Giving God, we do rejoice and we are glad for the great reward in heaven for those who do your work and your will. We pray now for those we know by name who are poor in spirit. We give thanks, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We pray now for those we know who are mourning. We pray your comfort upon them. We pray for those we know who find themselves hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. May they be filled. We pray for those who are agents of your mercy, showing it to all they meet. May they too receive mercy. We pray for those we know to be of pure heart. May they see your face. We pray for those we know who are not just peaceful, but who set out to be makers of peace. May they be known as the children of God. We pray for those we know who suffer with Christ for your name's sake. May their reward be your kingdom. We pray your blessings upon us all and pray for your strength and courage to be who you would have us to be.
Help us, Almighty God. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, number 549, Where Charity and Love Prevail. As a responsive benediction in your bulletin, would you read along with me, please? Go into the world doing what the Lord requires.
Living with kindness and justice, walking your path humbly for God.
Then you will find yourselves blessed. Know that yours is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.